Welcome to the Road Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Ware. You know, I was asked about Jeffrey Simmons on the text line, Ramona. You remember Jeffrey Simmons, don't you? Jeffrey?
Yeah.
Jeffrey,
yeah. Using his long name instead of to make
right,
him sound better.
To make him sound like a more sympathetic character.
Beat the woman on the ground.
Yes, that Jeffrey Simmons. Well, Jeffrey Simmons was probably headed towards being a top 10 NFL draft pick until allegedly he tore his ACL the other day. I've seen some tweets from people on Twitter, which is where you would see tweets. Slight redundancy, but I've seen some comments from people on Twitter suggesting that that this could be cosmic justice.
Oh yeah, karma.
Yeah, karma kind of thing with Jeffrey Simmons. I'm not going to go to that point with it, but nonetheless, a guy who would perhaps have been a top 10, top 15 draft pick in a loaded defensive line class will now slip back. And I was asked, you know, how far he'll fall. You know, I think what he does is he falls into the second round in all likelihood, probably the top half of the second round. You know, knee injuries are funny. Last year, there were some guys who were injured who slipped much further than I thought they would slip, much further. So, you know, it's sort of an individual case basis, but it's certainly not good news for Jeffrey Simmons as he pursues his NFL career. I saw this too, Ramona. I don't know what to make of this. This was a New York Times article, and I just have some notes on the article. There were several people, several media members, or at least one, on Twitter who questioned whether the New York Times should actually be using the athlete's name in the article, but nonetheless they did. I mean, this is insanity, but one of the women, I guess the first woman, who accused Virginia Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax of rape. And apparently, by the way, there's more than one woman now making that accusation. The top three people in the hierarchy in the state of Virginia are all in enormous trouble. But one of the women who accused Justin Fairfax of rape said that it's not the first time that she was raped. That she was raped by former Duke star Corey Maggette when he was at school. And she claims that the school would not pursue her claim.
Really? They covered it up?
I don't know. I mean, again,
told her like they did at FSU, you don't want to do anything about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure of any of that. All I know is that the New York Times went with this story, and they are saying that one of the women who accused Justin Fairfax, the lieutenant governor of Virginia, of rape, has indicated that she was raped previously, and she said she was raped by Corey Maggette while at Duke, and that the school, Duke, refused to pursue her claim. If it's true, because again, I have no idea as to the truthfulness or legitimacy of her claim. I mean, it's rather random, don't you think? I mean, it's rather random in that, I mean, Corey Maggette was only at Duke for 1 year. So, I mean... if she was looking to make a claim against somebody, she wouldn't just randomly, it'd be hard to just sort of randomly recall Corey Maggette. You know, I mean, obviously there must have been some involvement. Now, to be fair, Corey Maggette vehemently denies the accusation. says he has never sexually assaulted, raped any woman. And so he vehemently denies, he came out immediately upon hearing it and denies the accusation. Nonetheless, the accusation's been made. And again, it's odd because, you know, if you want to target an athlete, right? If you want to say some athlete attacked you and raped you without legitimacy, you would probably target somebody that people have heard of. You know what I mean? I mean, you would probably target somebody who's more recently in the news if that was your desire. But she reached all the way back to Corey Maggette. And that's back to 1998, I think. 98, 99. It's all the way back there. It's 20 years ago. It's 20 years ago. So I don't know what's going to come of that, if anything, but it's still, I was sort of shocked to read it this morning, I guess is when I saw it on Twitter, sort of shocked to read it. And I guess we'll see what, if anything, comes from it, but I don't know. 20 years ago, her claim is that Corey Maggette raped her and that she went to Duke, went to the school, and the school refused to pursue her claims. It better not be true. It better not be true. You want to talk about a stain on the ivory tower that is Duke, that'd be it. And again, I don't know that there's any way to substantiate her claims. When you go back 20 years, I mean, I have no idea. I don't know about the legitimacy of it, obviously. And again, to be fair, Corey Maggette has denied this accusation. And his deny was pretty adamant in nature. But, you know, you can't really read anything into that one way or another either. You want to get in 654-7627, 654-7627. You know, we were talking a little bit about the AAF and about the XFL. And, you know, I think some of the innovations of the AAF are interesting. I think that it's interesting to see the coaches mic'd up, interesting to be able to go inside the huddle. But again, you're never going to get that college or pro football because there's just too much rampant paranoia. You're never going to sell that. You know, there's been talk about what elements of the AAF, the NFL could adopt. There's been some suggestion that the 2-point conversion after all touchdowns could be adopted. I could see that. And I'd probably be okay with that. I could see that and I'd probably be okay with that. I'm not sure that much else could be adopted. I think you'd have trouble speeding up the NFL game to that extent. I'm not sure that people really want that. I know that there's a constant claim for that, but I'm not sure how much the real football fan cares about games being shortened. I can tell you personally, I never do. I have never once said, well, you know, these NFL games are too long. I wish they would shorten them. Never once.
No, I don't think you have ever said that.
No,
I wouldn't imagine you would say that.
I'm sure that's
a popular opinion.
Yeah, if
more
anything, I want them to go longer.
Right.
Right.
More football the better.
You know, I have never advocated the shortening of NFL games. I'm absolutely fine with, you know, listen, football's season is too short to begin with. It can't be any longer, but for fans like all of us, it's too short. We would want it all year round. So, I mean, look, that's why the AAF was so initially successful, I think, because quite honestly, I was almost surprised at the initial response and how many people seem to engage and watch. But I think it's because we're so football starved that we're to the point where we'll pretty much take anything. You know, once college and NFL is gone, man, if it's a football, we'll watch it. And so, you know, I don't think we're all that concerned with the length of the contest. But, you know,
I think the element of having the replay officials on camera and mic is really interesting. Now, it didn't work particularly well, but, you know, it's a fledgling league and they're new to these issues of execution. And I don't think the execution was particularly carried off well because they had these officials looking extremely nervous. I mean, each time I saw the camera and the mic on the replay officials and you listen to what they were saying, you could tell they were sweating it. It's like they were put under a police spotlight, you know, and they were being grilled. That's how it felt. And there seemed like it certainly added to their degree of pressure. There's no question about it. But I think the other part that argued or that added to that was that they were being fed 8mm film. I mean, the replay film that those officials were looking at was horrific.
And they had some guy going, hey, right, we down here think this.
I still don't get that. You know, maybe somebody can help me with that because I'm still not sure who that was. I'm not sure who the guy was who said, well, everybody, this was in the Birmingham game, the Birmingham-Memphis game. And it was sent up to this replay. It was, again, it was called a catch on the field. It was called a catch on the field. It was sent to the replay booth. And the guy in the replay booth, like instantly, almost instantly is saying, I don't see anything that we can overturn it with. And the voice down below is like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, I don't see anything that I can see that we can overturn it with. I think we're going to have to go with a call on the field. At which point the guy again says, everybody down here thinks the ball hit the ground. I still don't know who that guy was. I don't know who the guy who uttered everybody down here thinks the ball hit the ground. Because
it's
again,
obviously somebody that thinks they have power. Otherwise, he would have went, all right, we're going with your decision.
Well, look, ultimately, they did go with his decision. They have to. But what I thought was odd was the public challenge to the replay official. It's supposed to be his prerogative, his or her prerogative, because the first replay official was a woman. But it's supposed to be the replay official's prerogative, his discretion, his decision. And so when it goes to him, he or she is all powerful, at least in theory. But not in this case, because, again, the voice from below said everybody down here thinks they hit the ground. I still want to know who the everybody down here guy was. And I want to know who the group of everybody constituted. You know, I want to know who that was. I don't understand how that worked because, again, the call on the field, just to be clear, the call on the field was catch. Right?
And they stayed with that.
Right, but what I'm saying to you is the call on the field was that it was a catch. So if the officials on the field called it a catch, then it doesn't sound like it would have been one of the officials who ruled it a catch who then says to the guy upstairs, well, everybody down here thinks it hit the ground.
Somebody important, like in the most expensive box or something.
Yeah, I mean, was it Bill Polian? I mean, I don't know. I'm still not sure who that was or how that ultimately worked, but in a really timid fashion, the replay official said, I'm going to have to go with the call on the field.
See, it was somebody big.
That guy looked, I'm telling you, that replay official, both of them looked completely over their heads and scared to death. They looked.
It was Coach, what is this? How do you pronounce it? Krzyzewski? Huh? That's who it was. It was Coach Krzyzewski.
Well, again, they both looked really intimidated, but I understand part of the nature of it because the angles and the camera view that they were showing the replay officials, I mean, I have high definition and it all looked like mud to me. It looked like 8mm film. And so I think the truth is, I think the replay official upstairs is just saying, man, I have no friggin' idea. I can barely make out there was a football involved, and you want me to tell you whether it hit the ground or not.
They'll probably rethink some of that miking up.
Yeah.
Later.
And then, well, maybe, because the first time around with the woman official, the woman replay official, she said the same thing. She looked at it and said, I'm going to have to go with the call on the field. And then that was questioned. And she said, and then she took another look and she said, oh, no, now I see a different angle. So she.
You never do that.
She reversed her own call.
You can't do that. Then that gives somebody, I was right.
She reversed.
You can't change your mind.
She reversed her own call. You can get in. Now's a good time, actually. 654-767. You know what you want to talk about? You can get in. Tell me. I want somebody to tell me who the guy was who said, everybody down here thinks it hit the ground. And he was almost hostile. It was like, everybody down here thinks it hit the ground. He's like, and then the replay official's like, I can't see that. I can't see that. I'm going to have to go with the call on the field. That's how he was. That's how he was. We talk about George Coleman Ford. Cars cost less than Travelers Rest. There are never any dealer fees or service fees at Travelers Rest. George Coleman Ford is just a different kind of place. It's special people, treating people right. You know, we got this review the other day. This review is one of the more interesting reviews I've ever heard. This is a guy who sounds like he's been screwed over by car dealerships before. And this is what he said. He went to George Coleman Ford. He says, in capital letters, he writes, I was not dragged through unnecessary and time-wasting procedures to try and entrap me into making a decision out of frustration. George Coleman Ford asked what I wanted, what were my needs, and then proceeded to take me down that path. Not some rabbit hole of unwanted services and expensive add-ons. It was a great experience. This is a guy who sounds like he had never had a good experience with a car dealership before he went to George Coleman Ford. You'll find the same thing. Go to George Coleman Ford, where they've been treating people right for 90 years. Tiger Man, you're first up. We'll get back. Walter Tiller, Road Rage, quick break.
Mickey Pollard here for another great offer from Zero Res. Now through March the 3rd, get 3 rooms of carpet clean for only $119. Mention my name and you'll get a hallway free. What a unique Valentine present. And if you didn't know, Zero Res also has air duct cleaning. If you're waking up stuffy or notice that you have dust more often, then why not call Zero Res for a free estimate? 864-558-7300 or book online at ZeroResGreenville.com. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
Gold's Gym is where my community is. My friends, my coaches, my support system. Everyone's working to better ourselves. We may have different fitness goals, but we're all here reaching them together. Find your community at Gold's Gym today.
Join Gold's Gym with zero enrollment and no contract. Valid with select new memberships at participating locations only. Visit goldsgym.com/February to learn more. Offer ends February 17th.
For over 30 years, one family has owned and operated Roto-Rooter, helping thousands of home and business owners like you. That's what they do 24/7, 365, with a real voice to talk to when your plumbing issues become their plumbing issues. Rest easy knowing Roto-Rooter is there for you, serving the upstate and western North Carolina for over 30 years. 288-7686, rotorooter.com.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Henry Honda Easley is a short drive from where you are, serving the upstate with great Honda incentives. Henry Honda Easley has great low interest rates, terms, purchase, and lease payments. Right now, get a 2018 Accord for $259 a month or a Honda Civic for $199 a month. We even have the Honda CR-V for as low as $249 a month. Not all will qualify, so see Henry Honda Easley for all the details. Visit ilovehenrykondaeasley.com. That's ilovehenrykondaeasley.com.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for 4 generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
The new year is here, and it's time to get ready for Seneca's Half Marathon and 5K, brought to you exclusively by Henry Ramirez and his staff at Upstate Medical Associates. It's coming up on March the 16th at 8 o'clock for the 5K start, then 8:15 the Half Marathon gets started. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a great t-shirt this year we're giving away, plus we've got the sleeves, we've got the buffs, we've got a towel, we've got a great medal just for finishing the Half Marathon, plus it's going to be a lot of fun too. Hey, go ahead and sign up. Swing by City Hall or go by the Shavers Recreation Complex and pick up an application right there. $25 for the 5K and $50 for the half marathon. We got 313 Cafe going to be out there with the post party once you finish the 5K and the half marathon. And of course, Core 24 is right there to kind of root you along. Bradley's Jewelers is involved with a nice prize to give away. And Julian Davis will be there to kick everything off. It's going to be a fun day, March the 16th. Go ahead, strike it off your bucket list. Get your resolution for Seneca's half marathon and 5K, brought to you by Upstate Medical Associates, Henry Ramirez and his gang.
It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
This can be pretty dangerous if you don't know what you're doing.
Back to Walt and Ramona.
Walt Deptula, Road Rage, we're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. I'm coming to you guys on the phone lines 1 second. Hey, Ramona, you know every once in a while I have one of those apocalypse, end of the world stories?
Yeah.
I have one for you in a minute.
Okay.
I have one for you in a minute. Let me get to the phones and get to Tiger Man first. Tiger Man, what's going on?
Hi, Walt. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome in.
To agree with your assessments more than I disagree, so I appreciate your show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, I was watching both of those games you were talking about. I believe in the game where the gentleman that was the replay caller, the one that he was talking to was actually the referee, if I'm not mistaken.
But they're the ones who called it complete on the field.
But what, from what I saw, he was the one when it would shoot back and forth. The referee was actually the one that was questioning the call.
Okay. Well, maybe that's right, because the disconnect for me was that it's the group of officials called it complete on the field, and then
you're correct.
They're the ones talking to the replay official, you know, you would think they would be advocating for it to be caught. Instead, he says everybody down here thinks it hit the ground.
That is correct. I think they had this a moment, a come to Jesus moment. Okay, said, I think we made a bad mistake.
Maybe that's it. And they were pretty aggressive about that too. I mean, everybody down here thinks it hit the ground.
That's exactly what they said. That's almost verbatim.
And the guy in the booth, I mean, he looked totally intimidated, didn't he?
He looked like he was deer in the headlights. That's exactly what he looked like.
Yeah,
he looked. I thought the lady in the other game handled herself a whole lot better than he did.
She did. Yeah, she did. Yeah, you're 100% right.
Because she looks at it, and she sees one view. She sees one view. Oh, then she says, "No, we're going to go with a call in the field." She looks again. She says, "Oh no, maybe, you know, more or less admitted she was wrong."
Yeah, she did. You know, and I felt sorry for the other guy though, because the camera views they were showing him were brutal. I mean,
I agree with you. Brutal. It looked like mud.
Yeah,
it looked like mud with a little white piece, because they have the white paint on the ball, but it looked like mud.
Yeah, they're going to have to. One thing they're absolutely going to have to work on is their camera angles and improving the quality of the video for their replay officials, so it doesn't look like 8mm film.
I agree 100%. But I did think that the competition was very watchable.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I was pleased, because I watched two of the four games over the weekend, and I came away, okay, this is actually some good competition.
Yeah, and quite honestly, Tiger Man, it's better than nothing, right? I mean,
exactly right. We're jonesing for football now, so it's better than nothing.
Exactly, it's better than nothing. So, you know, I think that's where we are. But yeah, I agree with you. I thought it was, I thought the quality of play was pretty good. I thought that I thought a lot of the defensive players were guys that, you know, you could one day see on NFL rosters. I thought the quarterback play was a little iffy other than the Perez kid for Birmingham, who I liked. But other than that, I thought for the most part, I thought it was a pretty good product with some interesting innovations and more on the way, because they have some chip deal that they're actually going to let fans have an interactive role in being able to call plays. I don't know how it's all going to work yet, but
yeah, I was wondering how that would work.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but
who knows what we'll see then.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Good job, Tiger Man. I appreciate the call and the help with that question.
Yeah, thanks. One more thing. I love how you support Brad Brownell and the Clemson basketball team, because I tell you what, you're 100% right on that.
Thank you, Tiger Man. Appreciate that. And again, to be clear, first of all, I like the guy. I like him. He's sort of what you see is what you get kind of guy. I personally like him. But to be 100% clear, and we even told him this, remember, in an interview, Ron? I said, but to be clear, if I didn't think you could do the job, I wouldn't be selling you so hard. You know, I wouldn't be. Because I also want to be right.
That's like number one.
So, you know, if I didn't think he could do the job, trust me, I wouldn't be trumpeting him. So there's that. Georgia Tech, Mike. Mike, how are you?
Hey, Walt. Hey, I'm Mike. Doing good.
Good to have you back.
I got a couple of takes on this XFL, AAF. One is I like the idea of the league being kind of a beta test site for new rules.
Yeah.
I thought that added a lot of fun, and if it doesn't work, they can throw it out and do something new the next year.
Well, you know, listen, when you have a guy like Spurrier on the sideline who's mic'd up, that's entertaining. You know,
absolutely.
It adds an element that we don't normally get.
The second thing, I got a different take on XFL. I'm thinking of baseball, and maybe that's not the greatest analogy, but they bring kids in out of high school. Some kids aren't really... don't belong in college. They just, you know, this is my opinion. Maybe everybody doesn't agree. And this would give them a place to go and develop their craft. You know, and some kids just don't like aren't going to study, aren't going to do the kind of things
Mike, let me stop for 1 second, because I already said that, and I agree with that. I think there are that segment of players, kids that just want to compete athletically but don't want to go to school. But the problem is, you know, from a historical standpoint, the NFL has always been able to protect themselves and win in court, as they did versus Maurice Claret in that case, to protect the integrity of their rules in that regard. And that is that you have to be 3 years, you have to have 3 years of maturity. And the reason they've been able to win in court is because they haven't opened the door to entry previously, with one rare exception. But they haven't opened the door previously to early entry. But the biggest reason is they've been able to sell the danger element, that the game is too dangerous for less than mature bodies to partake, that an 18-year-old, no matter what they look like, up against the men of the NFL, will get killed. And I fundamentally agree with that. I think that's very legitimate. I think it's 100% legitimate. And so the question I would have is, if the preponderance of the players of the XFL are going to be players that look like the players we've seen in the AAF, then you're still talking about a danger element for someone who's younger than that, in my mind. And I think that's
I agree. They'd have to have an age limit.
Right.
Yeah, they'd have to go the whole way and have an age limit, I guess, for the XFL.
Even if they make it 2 years, let's say that's their intent initially, to make it 2 years. Well, their plan is still to cut off the NFL. Their plan is still to go after those players in that year that they would not be NFL eligible, and to lure them into their league with money. And
but wouldn't they feed eventually to the NFL, or would they?
No, I think
be an actual competitor.
Yeah, I think the XFL is intent on setting themselves up as a competition to the NFL. Now that has never worked before, to be clear.
Yeah.
But I think that's their intent. And,
well,
and if they can shortcut the talent pool. I mean, the talent pool is college football. If the XFL has the finances to shortcut the NFL and start stripping or significantly reducing the talent pool, then that could damage the NFL. It would certainly damage college football. It would certainly damage college football. It would, you know, we're already worried about the conscientious objectors, the guys who are leaving early. Those numbers would increase dramatically if the XFL is going to start to pay those players.
Well, now the AFC did succeed as a competitor to the NFL.
That's true. Right?
Kansas City.
Yeah, Lamar Hunt and all those first, people.
But Joe Namath was the one that actually broke the lock that the NFL seemed to have.
Yeah.
But they spent a lot of money. They went all out, but the World Football League didn't make it.
No.
Right?
No, and the USFL. No, the USFL didn't make it, and most of these football entities have failed. I mean, you still obviously have Canadian football.
Yeah. Yeah, it's does Canadian football does feed back and forth to the NFL, doesn't it? A little bit.
A little bit. A little bit here and there. Yep.
Well, listen, I enjoyed the discussion. If not, that's the other thing. It's fun talking about it.
It is. It is. Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. Excellent job. Good
Thank
job.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the AAF at least gives us something to here's my guess. My guess is the AAF is going to survive. That it may turn into just that. It may turn into an affiliate league of the National Football League with the support of the NFL. And if they are able to increase that linkage and that connection, that bond, then they are guaranteed to succeed until or if the National Football League fails, which would be related to head trauma and that type of stuff in the future. But yeah, I think that I think the AAF is going to succeed because their goals are different than goals of previous fledgling football leagues like the XFL. And the XFL, I view as dangerous right now, though, not because I'm really a believer in their long-term success. You know, Zach wrote me on Twitter, Tennessee Zach, who wrote me, Lumby, he goes by. He wrote that Vince McMahon will ruthlessly take on the NFL. The game of football will drastically change if he gets it off the ground. Ruthless aggression. Yeah, but he's already failed once. I mean, I know he's been a success business-wise with his wrestling enterprise, but he's already failed in this endeavor once. And quite honestly, his last effort was a clown show effort. And clearly that's not going to work. I mean, you're going to have to provide real football if you want to succeed. That's what the AAF did. The AAF doesn't have naked cheerleaders. You know, they're trying to be a football league, a legitimate football league. That was not what Vince McMahon tried to do the first go-round. So it'll be interesting to see what he tries to do the second go-round and see whether he's learned anything from his previous fail. And again, if this entails going after young players, I think the real concern is the sanctity of the college game. That's the real concern. That's why I'm not rooting for the XFL right now. I'm not rooting to have that talent pool depleted. I don't want the college talent pool depleted, nor do I want the NFL talent pool depleted. I don't want, you know, again, the USFL at one point was able to do that. Donald Trump, you know, the Generals franchise, they were able to do that. They were able to lure guys like Herschel Walker and Steve Young and Kelly and others. I don't want that. I'm not in favor of that. So if that means I'm rooting for the XFL to fail, then so be it. I guess I am, because I don't want the college game. I don't want more players leaving early from the college game. I don't want to see the college game diminished or depleted. And I don't want the National Football League game to be diminished or watered down because of a league that is ultimately going to fail anyway. And I doubt seriously in the longevity of the potential success of the XFL. I don't buy it. Priority One, Clemson Dad, I'm coming right to you. Priority One for all your security needs. No one does it like Priority One. First of all, they're great people. They matched every dollar we raised in the Tigers for Tata's campaign for 2 years. They wrote big checks in your community. This cancer's eventually going to impact us all. They're fighting cancer with us in that endeavor in this community, in these communities in the upstate. That's Priority One. That's not enough to let them protect your business or your family. This is their tip of the spear in technology, total customization, fastest response time in the industry. We live in a dangerous world. I'm not telling you what to do. Maybe the bad guy will never find you. I don't know the answer to that. And then again, maybe they'll find you 3 days from now. All I can tell you is this. Our friends at Priority One are ready and waiting to help you with the finest security the planet has to offer. When you're ready, dial them up. Tell them I sent you. 288-1400, 288-1400. Clemson Dad, you're up first. When we get back, Walt Tiptula Road Rage, quick break.
Join 105.5 The Roar for the Mark Childress Show. Co-host of the Tiger Tailgate Show and weekend sports anchor at Channel 7, Mark Childress interviews your favorite players and takes a hard look at recruiting. The Mark Childress Show, Saturdays at 9 a.m. only on 105.5 The Roar.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road in Greenville is the ultimate sports lodge you've been searching for. It's your local source for sports on wall-to-wall TVs and the most scenic views in the market. Everything on this fan favorite menu is made from scratch and guaranteed to please. Pair the new Nashville hot chicken sandwich with a local market brew served at a frosty 29 degrees by a beautiful Twin Peaks girl. Located on Woodruff Road in Greenville, Twin Peaks eats, drinks, scenic views.
Tax refunds are on their way, and we know you want to stretch your money as far as you can. At the Mattress Outlet in Seneca, we want to help. Right now, buy a brand new Beautyrest or Serta mattress for everyone in the family with discounts up to 70% off our everyday low pricing. And that's not all. Through February, receive an additional 10 to 15% off select Serta models during our Serta clearance sale. Don't miss out on these deals. Open 7 days a week. The Mattress Outlet in Seneca, located in the old Walmart across from Chick-fil-A.
This is George Jeffries again with Metal Building Supply in Piedmont. Do you have nuts? Well, we do, and bolts, panels, trims, and all the accessories you would need to do that shed project or roof on your home. Give us a call and talk to Kevin Brown. We can offer the names of contractors in the area and help you with the materials you need to solve those problems on your commercial building or your home. That's Metal Building Supply, 1500 Elrod Road, just off exit 39 and I-85 in Piedmont. Or call 295-0506 and ask for Kevin.
Vehicle repairs can be a painful experience, from shops that overcharge to mechanics who don't know what they're doing. My Garage by Essex, with over 100 years of combined experience, is that vehicle repair shop you've always wanted. Specializing in computer diagnostics and engine repairs, with a strong focus on preventative and scheduled maintenance, suspensions, brakes, heating and cooling. Call or stop by My Garage by Essex on Highway 93 in Clemson, 633-5800.
Ready to make your commute more entertaining, more interesting, even more productive? Then try 100% ad-free listening on Audible. Each month, you'll get two Audible Originals, exclusive titles you can't find anywhere else. Plus, a credit good for any audiobook and unlimited access to exclusive fitness and wellness programs. All with our commitment-free guarantee. The most inspiring minds, the most compelling stories. Go to audible.com today to start your free 30-day trial. And your first audiobook is on us.
See how easy it is to turn your backyard into a fun yard with a custom home pool or vinyl pool from Aqua Pool Care. Imagine relaxing on your tanning ledge, overlooking cascading waterfalls, highlighted by custom LED lighting. Aqua Pool Care offers financing on your new virtually maintenance-free pool. Get that eco-friendly saltwater pool you've been dreaming about. Call the best builder in the upstate, Aqua Pool Care, at 508-1885. That's 508-1885. Make your yard fun.
No one's better than Walt Deptula. Just ask him. It's Road Rage on 105.5 The Roar.
Oh, man, you are so dramatic.
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
Somebody asked me on the text line earlier, and I forgot about it. I apologize. I don't know who sent it. I can't go back and find it now. But somebody asked me about Trevor Lawrence and height in the NFL in that regard, and whether he was at that 6'7". Trevor's height is like 6'5 and a half, 6'6", I think. So he is right at the limit of that historical sort of cutoff point. But I will also say this, he has an unusually quick delivery for somebody his size. At times very quick. So I don't think that's going to be a concern for him. And again, you know, if he was another inch or two taller, would it be? Maybe. I mean, again, I think you get to this point where these marks exist for a reason. Now, we're already learning that some of the marks on the lower end have been bent and are not something that the NFL needs to apply anymore, at least not in every case when it comes to height at the quarterback position. But again, the historical dilemma in my mind, again, I've never heard anybody else talk about this ever, anywhere. But it's something I've noticed over many years, that there's never been a quarterback. Now, again, the pool isn't big. I mean, there aren't a ton of quarterbacks who are over 6'6", you know, so it's not like it's a big pool of failure, but it's big enough that there's something to it. And the something to it is the length of the arms, in my mind. It's the length of the arms and the delivery time. It's just too, when you have 35-inch arms, you have too long a delivery. And that's what Tyree Jackson is going to face, because he is 6'7". Now, maybe he'll be the guy who first sort of breaks that trend. I have some hope for him. I really do. He Jackson intrigues me a little bit, both from his physical skill set standpoint and having heard him speak and understanding better where he's come from and the training that he's lacked. He intrigues me a little bit. Clemson Dad, how are you?
I'm good, Walt. How are you?
Good. Appreciate you getting in.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the AAF, but then you start talking about the XFL a little bit. I was going to touch on that first real quick. You brought up some article you read, and I found one on SB Nation. And it's right, you know. First off, how can the XFL just draft a recent high school grad? And it sounds like this article I read, that's what they're planning to do. I mean, the NFL doesn't do that, so
why would
they be allowed?
Well, because it's the NFL's own rule that prevents them from doing it.
It's the NFL's own rule.
Right. If the NFL wanted to draft high school players starting tomorrow, they could. They just waive their rules and allow high school players to enter the draft. So it's not anybody else's rule. It's their rule. And so the XFL is not bound by their rules. So the XFL can do whatever they want. So if the XFL wants to hold a draft and draft 18 and 19-year-olds, they can do it. There's nothing that legally that I can see that could possibly prevent them from doing it.
No, that's why I asked. I want to find out about the legalities. So this article I read, if that's true, I mean, this could be a train wreck, Walt. I didn't think about it. You know, think about all the JUCO players that have been good and that had to go that route. I mean, especially if you, the guy says, what if you're a five-star running back from Tupelo, Mississippi, pretty good student, and got offers from all the SEC schools, Notre Dame, Michigan, and others. But he's, you know, he says, well, I'm smart enough to know, as a running back, I got so many hits. If I'm going to take the abuse, I might as well get paid, Walt.
Yeah. No, look, I am very much concerned about the XFL and their plans. Very concerned. I wasn't at first, but now I'm like, wow. Yeah, the AAF, I have no concerns about, because as I've indicated, I think they are desirous of being in total alignment with the NFL, and so they're not going to violate any principle that the NFL adheres to. But this group, Vince McMahon, I mean, he doesn't care about any of that. So he cares about their own success, and he wants to become his goal is to become a rival of the NFL, and the only way that they can conceivably do that is if they can cut off some of these players, and apparently that's what their goal is. And so if they're able to do that, that would be very damaging to the college game, and it would be damaging to the NFL product.
Right. And, you know, the guy went on to say he thinks maybe the XFL could accidentally become a minor league for the NFL. You see that happen?
No, because that's what the AAF, that's what the AAF is going to be. The AAF.
Yeah, but what if you're getting a better deal in the XFL and getting paid better until you get to that next tier?
Well, I don't think it's going to be a minor league, because again, I think they're going to compete with them. I mean, I think they're going to try and do.
Same kind of salary?
Well, I don't know how their initial salaries are going to work. I think that what they're going to try and do is sort of what the USFL did. I think that's going to be their approach. I believe that McMahon's approach this time is going to be to put forth a more serious football product. The last time he was too locked in his wrestling world, and it was.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day. That was a joke.
It was all phony. It was a clown show. But this time, I think he wants to be more serious, and we'll see how serious that guy can be. But I think he wants to be more serious in his approach. But you know, is that going to work? I mean, listen, I don't think it's going to work, and I think they're going to fail again. But in the meantime, I'm concerned that they could do some damage.
All right, you talked about the AAF. Real quick question on that. You talked about the quarterback play was the only thing that was a little, you know, low, if you will. We've talked about at work, you know, in the break area, me and the boys. You can't even find 32 QBs to field the NFL teams. I mean, how do you think you're going to find eight more to run those teams?
See, that's a good question. I think that's a really good point. Yeah. I think the answer is that if this union works the way the AAF is hopeful it will, I think what you're hoping then is that the NFL teams will basically allow use of quarterbacks they want to be developed with a mind's eye on them playing in the NFL. So in other words, you might have a third string NFL quarterback who, rather than just sit there, you're going to put on one of these AAF teams and let them play and let them develop. Now, the one possible hindrance to that I see is that this league is letting their quarterbacks get lit up. And I don't think the NFL...
Yeah, I was going to say, we talked about that the other day. They'd have to change that rule or something.
Right.
They wouldn't protect them at all. Yeah.
Clemson, Dad, I have to run. I appreciate the call as always.
All right, man.
Thank you. All right, Ramona, here's the story. The end of the world as we know it.
Okay.
This is from a Twitter feed called Fair Play for Women. This, I'm reading you.
This is Minnesota Women's Powerlifting State Champion JC, who set a new state record in the women's bench and won Best Overall Lifter. JC was born male, took up weightlifting about a year ago, and now dominates the state female rankings. And then there's three words at the end. Think about it. And they have photos here of JC. JC a year ago as a full-fledged male. And JC now, who quite honestly looks like a full-fledged male with longer hair.
They have to do something about that. You can't just be a guy a year ago and then... I'm guessing so he's in the middle of becoming a woman and he decided to lift weights while he's doing it?
Yeah, I don't see any details on that. All I know is that this is absolute BS and it continues to happen.
You need some sort of... we keep running into this. You need some sort of whatever you were born as when it comes to sports.
Yeah, I mean, again... We've seen the lunacy. We saw it in Connecticut twice in a row where consecutive years, males won female sprint championships.
Two different ones.
And these idiots are talking about, well, we have to be concerned with fairness to him. What about the fairness to the actual females and all they've worked for all their lives? You're not concerned about them at all? You're gonna let a dude compete in weightlifting competition females? Are you people insane?
I mean, that's the ultimate, isn't it? Weightlifting.
Yeah, it's exactly. I mean, and this guy, I don't know what you think you're accomplishing, buddy. Maybe I can't say buddy.
Wouldn't it take a longer time than a year for a weightlifter to go from a guy to a woman?
Look, this is a dude.
A weightlifter?
Right? I mean, this is a dude. I see his photos.
He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger, probably taking all sorts of stuff.
No, he's just like
legal or otherwise.
He's just like
built up like a thick
looking dude. It's a dude.
And then decides he's going to go be a woman and compete in that.
Right.
And once I don't care if he goes and becomes a woman. I could care less. But once he becomes a woman, he needs to get out of sports or whatever.
Right, look, listen, man.
No, don't use it as
you're free to do anything you want. And we wish you the best of luck. We wish hope you go on to be a great success. We don't want you winning powerlifting championships against girls.
Strength.
Right, more than anything else.
I mean,
because again, I'm looking at the two photos here. This is like the before and after with this guy. The on the right side, was the pre whatever. On the left side, this is him after winning. And the only difference in these two photos to me on the left side is he has hair extensions.
It wouldn't work the other way. If a woman decided she wanted to be a man, I bet you $1 million she wouldn't win in a man's competition.
I bet
it wouldn't work the other way as far as strength goes.
You high school organizations around the country, you need to wake up. You cannot be letting biological males, born male, who still have testosterone floating through their system and have for a million years, you can't be letting them beat girls in competition. It is not fair to the girls, you idiots. Lakeside Lodge Clemson is a new condo hotel under construction on Lake Hartwell. Pricing starts in the mid-200s. Financing's available. It's located on Highway 123, right across the lake from Clemson. It's a unique concept, blends the ownership of condominiums, the amenities of a resort, the abilities for owners to generate income through a professionally managed short-term rental program. You're down to like your last 40 units. There's still some of every variety, but you have to act. You cannot put it off any longer. The resort will include
include a lobby bar with restaurant, food service, pool, hot tub, walking pass, fire pit, meeting space, fitness facilities, even a small-scale football field for families to enjoy, expansive outdoor area for tailgating on game days. Taj Boyd is leading the Lakeside Lodge Clemson sales effort. Taj works in the new sales office, 906 Tiger Boulevard, right next to Ruby Tuesday. Go see him. You will thank me later. Walt Tiptula Road Rage. We're done. I'll see you tomorrow.
From the Priority One Security Studios, we are WCCP, Clemson, Greenville. 105.5, The Roar.
Sports Flash.
I'm Brett Jackerman. Never a dull moment when it comes to Antonio Brown, who issued a tweet today thanking Steeler Nation for 9 great years, and then it was time to move on. And with that, made his trade request public. However, right now, the Steelers do not plan to trade him, and he has 3 years left on his contract, so still a ways to go in this soap opera. Also today, Brown was found guilty of reckless driving after failing to show for a court appearance.